saving money on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Menards has a huge selection of concrete and mortar mixes. Our concrete products are great for a variety of applications, including pouring a walkway, setting a post, or even installing stone veneer. View our entire selection of concrete mixes and supplies in-store and on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer for more great deals happening this week. Save big money at
Menards. The following broadcast may contain free thinking and open-minded discussion, ideas, skepticism, and adult subject matter. Topics will be discussed using adult language, sometimes gratuitously. Get ready to move the conversation forward. This ain't your granddad's news and comment show. This is I Doubt It Podcast with Brittany Page and Jesse Dollimore.
Welcome to the show, episode 952. I'm your host, Jesse Dollimore, joined by the lovely, the talented, and as always, the scholarly, Brittany Page.
I thought you were going to say, welcome to the occupied Washington, D.C., live on the ground at our nation's capital that is currently occupied by a military force from across the nation, with Republican states sending their troops into D.C., because Big Balls got slapped by a 15-year-old girl.
I'm too tired for that. All that's pretty accurate, though. I mean, we are in the middle of a hostile military invasion and occupation of the nation's capital in a time of peace and prosperity. Mm-hmm. In a time where, I mean, I can't remember the last time, I don't know that I've ever felt unsafe walking in the city. There might have been a time 2 years ago in the summer that I felt a little nervous, like at night, maybe. Mm-hmm. Maybe. I don't remember a specific time. Mm-hmm. But, I'm just being as much fairness and charity as I can offer. Maybe. Mm-hmm. But not for two fucking years at all. No way. In any way do I feel unsafe now. Do you?
I do not. Yeah. But again, I think that a lot of people have different definitions of safety, and people don't know how cities are, I think, is part of the problem as well. So when we say that crime in D.C. is at a 30-year low, I think that some people say that that means that you're making the argument there's no crime. And no one is making the argument there's no crime. When you say there's a 30-year low, that doesn't mean there's no crime.
Right.
It means there's not a level of crime that necessitates sending in the National Guard or having all of these feds walking up and down the street terrorizing our community.
Yeah, I mean, think about this. No National Guard was needed even two summers ago that I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. When New York was a cesspool of crime in the 70s, the National Guard was not deployed. Mm-hmm. So there's no need for the National Guard at all. Mm-hmm. There's no level of crime that is too much and you need the National Guard, because you have the Metropolitan Police Department here. Mm-hmm. You have like 65. I don't know exactly what the number is. You might want to look it up while I'm rambling here. But there are double-digit federal police forces in this city. Mm-hmm. You've got Park Police. You've got Metro Police. You've got Metropolitan D.C. Police. You've got the Office of Government Printing. You've got Homeland Security. You've got FBI. You've got Secret Service. You've got State Department has their own police force. There are many, 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 many federal police forces in Washington, D.C. You don't need the motherfucking National Guard to be posted up in front of Union Station where there is no crime.
Yeah. So, well, and again, J.D. Vance, Vice President J.D. Vance, the Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth, and white Nazi Stephen Miller were at Union Station today to greet the troops, to thank the troops, to, I guess, buy the troops Shake Shack. I don't know if they're living in Union Station.
Right.
I don't know. Have they found a place to live for all of these hundreds of troops that they have sent in to the city? And if they did, why can't they find a place to have the unhoused stay? Can they afford to give the unhoused a place to stay? Yes, they can. They choose not to.
Right.
So J.D. Vance and Pete Hegseth and Stephen Miller walked through Union Station today and told a bunch of lies to the press. J.D. Vance talked about coming to Union Station and having vagrants scream at his children and, you know, quote unquote. And I need more information in that situation. Like, what were your kids doing?
Well, not only that.
What did the kids do?
Oh, you mean it has to be a vagrant if someone yells out, "Hey, JD, you're a fucking cunt." That's a vagrant? Or was that just Jesse Dolemore? I mean, come on. It has to be a vagrant because someone screamed at the fascist vice president who's now serving at the behest of and the pleasure of the guy he called America's Hitler. Fuck off, J.D. Vance.
Here's what should make people feel good, though, is that D.C. has been completely mobilizing against this.
Woo!
Protests, people out in the street. ICE was just filmed in
Actually, I think you're wrong. Because Pam Bondi just said on Fox News that federal agents are being stopped all day and night with people whispering to them, "Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you for being here." But it's whispering.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe they don't hear it.
Yeah, they're also being told to go fuck themselves with far more frequency than they're being told thank you. And
big, big shout out to our old neighborhood.
Yeah, ICE was filmed walking down the street in Columbia Heights. And I mean, a crowd of, I don't know, maybe 50 people.
Dozens for sure.
Descended on them and followed them as they walked down the street, screaming at them, "Get out of our city. Whose streets are streets? Shame." And even when J.D. Vance, Pete Hegseth, and Stephen Miller tried to hold a press conference today, I could sometimes not even hear what J.D. Vance was saying because it was being drowned out by the protesters who were screaming. And so it is nice to see that people are not giving up. They're not giving in. They are getting out into the streets. They are staying active. They know that their communities are at risk, number one, and they're wanting to do something about that. And actually, on that note, maybe we'll just start here. I want to kind of go through best practices for bystanders. And this was put together by the Migrant Solidarity Mutual Aid Fund here in D.C. Because this is kind of nice for all of us to know. It's nice for people to know who want to record ICE. If you are white, you should definitely be using your privilege to get out there and to record the police, to push back against the police, to push back against federal agents, ICE in your streets. That is for sure very important. So we have the right to record law enforcement activity in public. You definitely want to stay on public property. If you're on private property and they ask you to move, you want to move. One tip that they have is that you don't want to interfere, because interfering could cause harm to the community member that's being targeted. And your goal is not to get involved in that way. Your goal is to document and to collect information about what's happening. Because a lot of these federal agents are wearing masks. They're refusing to identify themselves. They're refusing to give badge numbers. And there's actually a purpose to the community stepping forward and saying, "What agency are you with? What is your name? Can you give me your badge number?" For the family members of the individuals that are being taken, so these family members can find these individuals who are being taken by these agencies.
They get disappeared. Like, if they want to sue their fellow government or file some kind of lawsuit, there's no ability to know who disappeared their family member if the officer doesn't identify themselves.
Right.
That was serious.
Absolutely. So they say to consider that you may be subject to further questioning, and they note that this is kind of the prime role of a U.S. citizen ally, is to record law enforcement. Yeah. So,
well, my advice would be, and I'm no lawyer, obviously, and I didn't have anything to do with compiling that list, but I would say, you know, stay back. Beyond an arm's length, if you get too close, it's like my drill instructors used to say in the Marine Corps, if I can reach out, if I can slap you or punch you, I feel like you're attacking me and I'm going to lay you out.
Mm-hmm.
So just stay out of arm's reach.
Right.
Then you're not a threat to them at all.
Yeah.
And also, you could say whatever you want to say to them.
Yes.
You could scream at them. You can tell them what I would tell J.D. Vance. You know, whatever you want to say, you can say.
That his mouth looks like a...
Yeah, you tell him you're a coward. You're a vicious little masked, whiny, sniveling weakling. Why are you so afraid to show your face?
So I should note that they say the material presented here should not be relied on as legal advice. Please assess your own personal risks and reach out to an attorney. That's kind of just a global qualifier for everything, okay? They say, why record ICE activity? To collect information that could help an affected community member's legal case. Documentation plays a crucial role in exposing law enforcement abuses and advocating for rights. Also, to inform rights groups so they may alert community about ICE activity.
Yes.
This one's important. If you're going to post about ICE activity in your community, you want to be specific. How many cars are there? How many officers? What are the cross streets? You want to try to give as much information as possible, because just saying alert, ICE spotted here, can create a lot of fear and not necessarily deliver the information that people need to make an informed decision about whether they should be in that area. So you want to try to give as much information as possible if you're posting an alert.
As many facts as you can.
The rules were that you guys weren't going to fact check.
One of the tips that they have here is never go live on social media.
I don't agree with that. Why do they say?
Well, we might get to that on a later slide. I think it's because they don't, if you're asking the community member that's being assaulted or arrested by ICE personal information in order to document that for their family members, if you're live on social media, there's no way to edit out.
In the midst of an arrest, I see that.
Right, right.
For me, if something goes down, like if I'm ever arrested, we haven't had this conversation yet, but we'll have it now. If I'm getting arrested for involving myself or getting mouthy with a cop or whatever, I would want you to go live, because then they can't take my phone or your phone and delete that footage. It's out there. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That's something to consider, I think.
Yeah.
But certainly you don't want to reveal people's personal information.
Right.
Use your best judgment.
So as far as documenting the information, like we were just talking about, if you're going to make a post, they actually have an acronym that helps you identify the process here. So it's SALUTE: size, activity, location, unit, time, equipment. So size is obviously how many people, how many officers, how many vehicles. Activity is what are the agents doing? Are they knocking on doors? Are they detaining people? Are they attempting to go into private property? Location is the exact address, the exact intersection, some sort of landmark that they are at. Unit is what letters, details, or patches are visible on their uniforms, their jackets, their vests, their vehicles. Are they plainclothes? Are they masked? Are they pretending to be police? Are they refusing to identify themselves? Which we're seeing in, I would say, most of the videos filmed here in DC right now. We are seeing these ICE officers, these feds, refuse to identify themselves. In some cases, mocking residents of DC. In some cases, laughing at them when they try to ask for more information. And we're going to get to some of the terrible, egregious examples of just blatant misconduct that we've been seeing here in DC. Time refers to what's the date and time. This information should be shared quickly, they say. The equipment is what did agents have with them, any weapons, dogs, door breakers, things like that.
Vehicles that can carry multiple people, like a paddy wagon.
Right. If you're wondering what questions to ask ICE while you're filming, these are suggestions. Are you conducting immigration enforcement? Do you have a judicial warrant? Can I see it? Are you detaining someone? On what grounds? Please identify yourselves. You are operating in public. Why are your faces covered? Federal agents must identify themselves. There's a little asterisk there, because I think that there are some cases where they get around identifying themselves on a technicality.
Because if you're not party to what's going on, they don't have any obligation to give you that information.
You are being recorded. You are refusing to identify yourself in public while detaining someone in public.
Yeah.
So we are going to...
But they don't have in there asking about why they can't breathe through their nose and only through their mouth? Why are you such a vicious, aggressive mouth breather, sir?
Yeah. They also say you can yell advice to the person being detained. You can remind them that they have the right to remain silent.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You can remind them that they can ask to see the judicial warrant. You can tell them that they have a right to an attorney. You can tell them they don't need to assign anything. You can ask them, what's their first and last name? What's, you know, the name or contact information of someone that they can contact on their behalf? And you can tell them that you're recording for their safety. So these are important tips to know if you are going to participate in, on the activist level on the street to ensure that you're not increasing someone's risk of danger in the process. So we're going to share these tips in the description of this episode. So I definitely recommend you share those with your community.
There's also an app out there called Ice Block where you can report the location in real time of ICE agents. And I'm sure now federal authorities who are masked secret police goons.
Right. I want to briefly talk about, just before we kind of get into all this, about Donald Trump and his existential crisis that he's currently experiencing, you know, because he talked about how he's worried about burning in hell.
Yeah. Yeah.
He went on Fox and Friends and he expressed this existential crisis that he's having and talked about, like, how he, I guess, is in the know about what list he's on and how he doesn't seem to be doing super well on the list to get into heaven.
Is Megyn Kelly's white Santa Claus also creating a list other than a heaven list?
I guess.
I just want to end it. You know, we're not losing American lives. We're not losing American soldiers. We're losing Russian and Ukrainian, mostly soldiers, some people as missiles hit wrong spots or get...
Wait.
You
just
know,
as an aside, I don't think Donald Trump knows that soldiers and military combatants who die in combat, they're also people. Those are people who are dying. Just because they're in the military and have volunteered or otherwise been conscripted by in some way, they're also people, Donald Trump.
Well, what about when the missiles hit the wrong places?
Oh, no, that's very precise military language.
Okay. That's
what everybody says. Okay. Oh, the missile hit in the wrong place. That's how it's talked about. Let's let the President of the United States and Commander-in-Chief of the Armed Forces continue.
Lobbed into cities like Kiev and towns, but you know, if I can save some people as Ukrainian, mostly soldiers, some people as missiles hit wrong spots or get lobbed into cities like Kiev and towns, but you know, if I can save 7,000 people a week from being killed, I think that's a pretty. I want to try and get to heaven if possible. I'm hearing I'm not doing well. I am really at the bottom of the totem pole. But if I can get to heaven, this will be one of the reasons. Well, I think I saved a lot of lives with India, Pakistan. They were going at it. The planes were being shot down. That was going to be maybe a nuclear war if I let that go. And I did that through trade. I just want to end it.
You know, today he was talking to somebody, and he said that he ended a war between Azerbaijan and Albania. Everybody thinks he meant Armenia, but who fucking knows with this dipshit?
Yeah, I think he's claiming he's ended 6 wars since he's been office.
Oh, so many wars.
Yeah.
So many wars.
This
is the biggest and best wars nobody even knows. But it is nice to know that he wants to try and get into heaven if possible.
Yeah.
He does hear he's not doing well, according to his own account.
Yeah.
And he's hearing that he's at the bottom of the totem pole.
Right.
You know, when you read in the Bible about your name being written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, that's only flowery language. It's actually where you are on the totem pole. That's how it's talked about in the New Testament.
Yes.
Donald Trump has a kung fu grip like an 80s G.I. Joe character on biblical knowledge.
It's a Bible. So this clip, though, I think is primarily just a gift to, like, Psych 101 professors around the country.
Because, is that right?
Yeah, because he's really bringing to life Eric Erickson's final stage of psychosocial development, which is integrity versus despair, where you reach older age and one of the things that you're grappling with is, what is the meaning of my life? What did I achieve? Are you going to find integrity in that? Are you going to learn to reconcile your choices and the actions that you took and forgive yourself and forgive others and find meaning in your existence? Or are you going to find despair because you're depressed about the choices that you made and the life that you have lived?
Yeah, I don't think Donald Trump, I don't think he's wired for feeling regret or guilt or any of that. I think he doesn't give a single fuck about it.
Yeah. Well, that's what's interesting is I didn't think he would be capable of an existential crisis. I didn't think he'd be capable of asking the questions at the end of his life if he hasn't led a meaningful life. But it's interesting to hear him at least feign concern about getting into heaven and burning in hell.
Yeah.
Because I don't know that he actually believes in it.
I don't know. I don't think he believes in God.
Yeah. So I don't know what this is about. I don't know if he maybe just heard someone talking about it and thought it would be a nice little anecdote to throw in the mix or where his mind was at. But don't accuse me of giving him credit. I'm just saying this will be a useful teaching tool for Psych 101 professors who are teaching Eric Erickson's stages of psychosocial development.
Maybe he just heard somewhere on YouTube or Fox News that it's more difficult for a rich man to enter the gates of heaven than for a camel to trot through the eye of a needle. Maybe now that's why he's like, oh, fucking low on the totem pole. I'm actually a billionaire now. No chance.
Yes. So like we said, we are currently under occupation and this has been a very stressful time. It's been a little more than a week. There are military vehicles all over the city. A military vehicle just smashed into a civilian and sent
the
civilian to the hospital with head lacerations. So the city is actively more unsafe because these people are walking around. He also, Donald Trump, when he first deployed the troops, said that they wouldn't be armed. Now they're armed. Marissa Cabus with the handbasket was reporting that National Guard troops have been sent to get training on handgun usage.
Great.
So this is...
Also, let me say this. It seems to me, and it only seems to me, that Donald Trump is doing his damnedest to try to propel us into a civil war. And I don't use this euphemistically or trying to be cute or clickbaity, even though this is a podcast and it's just audio and there's no clickbait involved. But when you have West Virginia and you have South Carolina and you have Louisiana and you have Mississippi and you have Ohio now committing troops to invade and occupy a blue city. So you have red states sending their armed agents and their military to occupy a blue area. I don't know. It seems pretty reminiscent of a Civil War type situation, mm-hmm. does it not? And this is just a proving ground, just a test run before Donald Trump ultimately does it to New York, Los Angeles, mm-hmm. Boston, mm-hmm. wherever else he feels the need or the justification to do so. Because I guarantee you, he's not going to be sending troops into Dallas, Texas.
Well,
it's going to be a blue area. Go ahead.
They say it's about safety, but it's an act of aggression. And I'm going to make this case for you as we play the clips of what these ICE agents have been doing here. They are aggressive in this city. They are tearing down banners and allegedly putting dildos in the place of those banners. We're going to get to that in a moment. But let's first hear this news package from PBS NewsHour's Jeff Bennett, who actually went around and talked to people in Washington, D.C. to get the feels about how they are reacting to the National Guard being in this city.
Hundreds of National Guard troops are now stationed around parts of Washington, D.C. and its iconic landmarks. Nightly checkpoints have become routine in some areas of the city.
This is what democracy looks like.
As have protests against the increased security presence.
We don't have the sort of crime problem that President Trump is describing. People do feel safe.
Several D.C. residents, like retired George Washington University professor Jeff Levy, joined a recent protest in front of the Metropolitan Police headquarters.
What the rest of the country needs to understand is while they have more legal basis for doing it in D.C., this is their goal across the country.
He's right.
D.C.
This Alexandria, Virginia native who asked us not to use her name also joined the demonstrations.
They're trying to make it less and less safe and make you more and more scared. So I hope people will just stand up and let their voices be heard because most people do not want this.
Lorena and Josiah Bowie just arrived in Washington, D.C. from Florida as Josiah prepares to begin college at American University.
From what I've seen so far, D.C. has been one of the safest places I've been. There is not one hint of some sort of crime epidemic.
One of the first stops for the mother and son was the National Mall, where National Guard troops were on patrol, even stopping for photos with tourists.
The National Guard is walking by, so these are the first officers that we do see. I was expecting them to be all over the place, and I guess little by little they are coming through everywhere. To me, it's extremely sad because this is not what this country was founded on.
Although the president declared a crime emergency in Washington, earlier this year the Justice Department reported that violent crime in D.C. had hit a 30-year low. And many residents went about life as usual over the weekend, including Jeff Menzer, who we met at a local farmer's market.
I generally feel safe. I go out at night. Fortunately, I do live in a neighborhood that is relatively safe. It actually has an ongoing police presence because it's on Capitol Hill, but random crimes do happen.
Wait a minute. In what other war-torn area, all of the farmers markets that happen on the weekend in Gaza right now, I'm sure, right? It's such a fucking ridiculous claim that crime is so out of control that we need roving bands of masked, heavily armed secret police of Donald Trump to maintain order. Mm-hmm. When now there is chaos in D.C., but it's coming at the hands of the masked goons, mm-hmm. these secret police agents who refuse to identify themselves, who are wearing garden variety tactical gear that could be purchased at Walmart.
Right.
With armed, and then they won't say that if they're police or if they're not. I mean, you and I could go out and dress like this and just kidnap people.
Mm-hmm.
And who would know any different?
Right, and it's a legitimate concern. People are doing that.
Yeah.
People are doing that.
Let's let the clip finish out. It's got like 35 seconds.
But a major reason cited by the Trump administration for placing the city under federal control was to target juvenile crime in the nation's capital.
D.C. police say the three teen carjackers got caught up in traffic,
which soared in Washington during the pandemic as well as around the country. It has since fallen to level seen in other cities, but then came a highly publicized attack on a Trump administration official by a group of teenagers earlier this month.
I see too much violent crime being committed by young punks who think that they can get together in gangs and crews and beat the hell out of you or anyone else.
For the record, the two people who were arrested, the two children who were arrested related to the Big Balls attack, the Korinsky, or whatever his last name is, was a 15-year-old boy and a 15-year-old girl.
Mm-hmm.
Those were the perpetrators of the Big Balls attack.
Mm-hmm.
That was just punching him in the nose.
Right.
If you listen to Elon Musk or anyone else from the administration, all of the facts they give, facts, quote unquote, all the details they give fly in the face of the actual police report. It wasn't a dozen or more men who were brutally and viciously attacked Big Balls.
Mm-hmm.
It was a 15-year-old girl and a 15-year-old boy.
Yeah, well, again, these people are always just focusing on the absolute wrong things, and they don't seem to care about focusing on the things that they should be focusing on. And we'll get to that in a moment. But one of the things that comes to mind is, you know, they aren't, for example, calling for investigations into like the Catholic Church, you know, which has like a rampant sexual abuse problem.
The Mormon Church.
There was another church that recently came out.
Jehovah's Witnesses have a problem.
Yeah. Well, pick a church that hasn't had an issue. I think it would maybe be an easier way to narrow that down.
Right. Anytime you have an organization that puts someone up on a pedestal that can't be questioned, the Trump administration, you've got a problem.
And then there was also this recent reporting that came out in the New York Times about Uber. I don't know if everyone saw this.
Oh, my God.
I'll put a link in the description. But they reviewed all kinds of behind-the-scenes information, documents at Uber, and they found that Uber received a report of sexual assault or sexual misconduct in the United States almost every eight minutes on average between 2017 and 2022.
Take care of yourselves out there, ladies.
One of the things that they said is a unifying theme is that the perpetrator was a man.
Yeah.
Whether the driver was a female driver who was giving a man a ride, or the female was a passenger getting a ride from a male driver.
You know what's interesting about this is when Uber just rolled out their, like, lady drivers initiative or pairing women riders with women drivers, something like that, conservatives freaked out like it was woke.
Right.
Rather than, oh, yeah, we want to protect women. Aren't women weak and powerless and need to be protected by big, bad, strong men? Isn't that the whole narrative? Instead of celebrating the move of keeping women safe, they acted like, oh, this is woke nonsense. Mm-hmm. It just...
Well, there's a Trump-related piece in this article, too, that I just want to read. They write, quote, last fall, leaders greenlit a pilot for a women matching option in the United States with a planned rollout starting in November, according to internal communications. But days after Donald Trump was elected president, executives decided to hold off.
Oh, they didn't even roll it out.
Quote, this is not the right environment to launch, and we want to take a beat to assess our timing, an internal document read.
So Uber chose not to keep their riders safe for fear of the woke thing. And then when the story broke, conservatives got all whiny.
Yes. And I would love to have a women matching Uber because I've had all kinds of... I stopped using my real address for pickup and drop off because I've been asked countless times at this point when I'm being picked up or dropped off if the location... where the man is picking me up is where I live, including one time I stepped out of the car. I was on the curb. The ride was over. I was getting ready to close the door, and he turns around, and he looks at me, and he says, is this your house? Is this where you live? And I'm like, what are we doing here? Why are we?
Yeah.
You don't need my assassination coordinates, okay? You know, we have to bring up the Elon Musk humor. So U.S. Attorney Jeanine Pirro, the Fox News host,
Fox News personality turned U.S. attorney for the District of Columbia.
Yeah, you heard her at the end of that clip, and she was talking about the gangs of kids all over the city. She's not talking about, like, the frat boys running over Georgetown, okay? She's being racist in what she's saying there. And
young punks and thugs.
Yeah, and what she doesn't care about, that she should care about, is prevention. And she was actually asked at a press conference recently, directly asked about this. What are you guys planning to do about crime prevention?
My prosecutors.
You just walked through the changes you'd like to see from the punitive aspects. What about preventative? Do you or the president plan to do anything to address the root causes of crime in D.C., such as truancy?
My job.
That is a hell of a pause.
She's like, she's flustered.
She's
like
vacant.
She's never even considered.
Yeah. Watching the clip is remarkable for that reason right there. She's trying to think of what to say because it's something she's never considered before. And instead of it considering it in the moment, she's recalcitrant and turns into what you would expect from Jeanine Pirro.
Is to try to heal the victims and prosecute the criminal. Everybody else can deal with rehabilitating the individual. I honestly am not concerned about why they commit crimes. My concern is if they commit crimes. My concern is the victims of the crimes. That's my job as a U.S. attorney. Go ahead.
But just follow up on that quickly.
Is a felony one. And
so no answer on preventing. And it really fits with the larger project that conservatives have here. They are really dedicated to the prospect of locking people away. That's what they want to do. But when it comes to rehabilitation, when they want to put in rehabilitation programs in prison systems to ensure that when people get out of prison, they don't reoffend and they're able to move forward in their lives.
Yeah.
They don't like those programs either. They just want to punish people. They want to do the things that don't ultimately work to make our society better. And we're seeing that right now because there's all kinds of things that they could be doing in terms of funding after school programs, funding community health investments, funding these things that would actually make a beneficial difference in people's lives instead of having the National Guard stand around at the National Mall.
Yeah, it's the seminal motivator. The thing that animates them is being reactionary.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want, they don't care what the root cause of veteran suicide is. They don't care. Mm-hmm. They don't care what the root cause of crime might be. They don't care what the root causes of poverty are. They don't care what the root causes of homelessness are. They don't care about any of that. It's how can we criminalize these items? How can we demonize the people who fall into unfortunate situations? Sometimes at no cause of their own. It's just conservative politics 101, republicanism 101.
Well, and this is fundamentally a proportionality issue where Donald Trump's response is not proportional to the experiences of crime in this city. But again, there is this tendency of conservatives to manipulate and say that because crime is at a 30-year low, that people on the left are making the argument that there's no crime. And again, that's just not the case.
I'm not hearing anybody say that.
Yeah, it's just not, it's not the case.
D.C. is some peaceful utopia that you don't have to worry about anything.
Yeah, it's like any other city, okay, guys? There's going to be some problems. It's a city.
Anytime you gather people together, look, people are assholes. You're going to have some problems.
Yeah, of course. So,
and whether a small town or a big city, you're going to have assholes.
Right. And there's a part two to that PBS NewsHour clip. And I don't want to just clip the part where he talks to members of the community who are like, there's no issue here. We have no issue. Because that's where I cut the first part. Because the second part is he talks to people who are like, I've experienced robberies. I've experienced these things.
Sure.
And they have a different take.
Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Finish up projects with GE-branded silicone sealants. Tub and tile silicone is 100% waterproof and offers same-day water readiness, making it perfect to use in kitchens and bathrooms. Shop our selection of GE sealants in-store and on Menards.com and save big. Plus, check out the weekly flyer to view all of our other great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards. Shajib Udullah and his wife own this convenience store at Heckinger Mall in Northeast D.C., an area long plagued by high crime. Their store was recently robbed and vandalized by dozens of teenagers, and Udullah says D.C. police needs more help.
It's like more than 30 kids robbing us, and they show up like more than 30 minutes later. That's when I don't think so they are enough. They might be busy for somewhere else. So he's not, I don't think so, he's not enough police around here.
They say they welcome the federal takeover, but at least so far, they say they haven't seen an increase in security in this neighborhood.
Of course they're going to be over there. Why? Because it's close to the White House or the Capitol or something. They need to have it more in the D.C. area where they know the crime is.
Not far from their store, Abdullah Salim runs this boxing gym in the Trinidad neighborhood where he mentors local teens.
We need oil in our city. If you don't have no oil, you ain't got no city.
He hasn't seen an increased presence in his neighborhood either, but he says he supports what the president is doing.
I've been seeing a lot of atrocity, a lot of murders, a lot of innocent children, a lot of innocent babies. And there's nothing done about it.
With no reason.
While much of the effort so far appears to have focused on areas closer to the White House, federal agents have shown up in some high-crime areas of the city, but some residents aren't happy about it.
They start pulling up, just instantly hopped out, started harassing us, put one of my homies in handcuffs, like...
This 19-year-old, who asked us not to use his name, lives in Ward 8 in Southeast Washington, which has among the highest crime rates in the city. Last week, he recorded this video showing agents from multiple agencies at this housing complex, where he says he and his friends were simply hanging out late into the evening.
They had firearms, they had their weapons, and we didn't have nothing but just ourselves to protect and make sure everybody was good. They just basically harassing us for real.
People getting pulled over left and right. I seen checkpoints everywhere. I felt like I was in a foreign country.
Nathaniel Long co-owns District Alley, a bar in the popular nightlife area of U Street in Northwest D.C., where social media video has captured crowds reacting to the new checkpoints. He agrees that crime is an issue in D.C., but says the White House won't solve it by force alone.
It's like a takeover. Instead of, like, let's add some aid and let's work with the local authorities and city. I mean, it's like a bull in a china shop. And it doesn't have to be that way.
This year, House Republicans have withheld more than $1 billion of D.C.'s budget, while the White House has also made cuts, including to police, security, and the courts. That's added to many residents' skepticism about President Trump's plans for D.C.
They told us they was coming every day, like, so that's basically what I'm expecting for them to come every day.
Problem is, the threat is always going to be there. This administration, this president has a pretty short attention span that they will have to move on to something else. And perhaps they'll release the Epstein files.
Which is what needs to happen. And that's why this whole thing was predicated on distracting from the Epstein files. So let me say this really quickly. And this is just anecdotal. But we've lived here for almost 4 years. 4 years now. Seeing a DC, look, DC cops aren't great. They're like cops anywhere else. They're not great. They're lazy. They're on their fucking phones constantly. It's like there's a Candy Crush tournament for cops everywhere you go. And to hear the guy say, DC police, they just need more help. No, that's not the case in my estimation, because you don't see DC cops doing traffic stops. I could count on one hand in 4 years how many traffic stops I've witnessed. And since the takeover, since the federalization, since the military occupation, DC cops are pulling people over left and right. They didn't need the help. They needed the motivation. They needed to actually do their fucking jobs. And I'm not saying traffic stops are going to curb crime, but they clearly, it's not a manpower issue with the DC police.
Yeah, and again, this kind of happens when people have been victims of crime, and sometimes their ire is then pointed in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
And they don't necessarily go for the systemic causes. Of course, they're angry. They're upset that they've been a victim of a crime. Totally understand. It's not fun. It's horrible. I understand why people would be angry and struggle to place the blame where it needs to go. But, you know, when you heard people talking in that news package, and they are in areas that are not well funded, in the areas of DC that have food deserts. For example, around 11% of DC's land area is considered a food desert. Nearly half of the food deserts in DC are in a single area, and that's Ward 8. And
yeah, that is across the river, Anacostia.
That's southeast DC.
Yeah.
Where you do not have a lot of public investment. And there, for example, over the past 2 days, there were 3 people shot in two separate shootings in Southeast. A month ago, around the same time that Big Balls was shot, a 1-year-old girl was shot in the arm and was in critical condition. You didn't hear about that little baby. You heard about Big Balls.
Right.
Okay. And so they're not even focusing on Southeast when they have
that's
these.
That's not where the we don't want the National Guard there. That's not going to solve any problems.
Absolutely not.
Keep the National Guard where they are, which is in no crime areas like Union Station and along the National Mall and over by the White House. Fine. Let them be there. They're not doing anything anyway, but they would create great harm and anxiety in communities.
Right.
For sure.
And that's the problem. I mean, that's the heart of this is racism. And we see so much of this happening right now with abuse coming from ICE. This story in San Bernardino, for example, where ICE agents actually pulled someone over. He was in his vehicle. He remained in his vehicle because he didn't understand what they wanted from him, why they had him pulled over.
They're also masked.
Yeah, of course.
They could be not real.
It's scary. You don't understand what's going on. And he drove away. And they actually, they fired bullets into a moving car.
Right.
Well, you know, the family says they drove away because they feared for their lives after those federal agents broke the windows on their car and then hit the driver in the head. They say they were trying to cooperate with them, but the agents wouldn't answer any questions about what exactly was happening.
What do you want?
What do you want? Identification.
3 men were delivering supplies for work early Saturday morning in San Bernardino when federal immigration officers in police vests boxed them in and ordered them to roll down the windows. They did not. The quick interaction ended with gunfire.
Hey, you can't do that.
I was thinking the bullets were going to run through the back window and hit any of us.
Martin was in the back of the car. He showed us pictures of the bullet holes blasted into the passenger door where his brother-in-law was sitting. He says the driver was his father-in-law, an undocumented immigrant who owns a home and a party supply business here. He says he's been trying in good faith to obtain U.S. citizenship for 2 decades and is not committing crimes here.
He's been here for 23 years. He's always just been a hardworking man. There's no reason he shouldn't have gotten his green card a long time ago. He's tried many, many, many times. They've always denied it.
Martin's father-in-law drove back home and called police to investigate the shooting. San Bernardino PD says when they arrived, federal agents were already there and told them they were involved with the shooting with a man at the home. Police say they left because per California law, they cannot assist federal officers with immigration enforcement. Community members soon swooped in to see what was going on.
This is just, again, an escalation of this campaign of terror by this administration that it really seeks to ensure that immigrants are so scared to come out to live their lives. And we are here to say enough is enough. This is not okay. We are not going to accept this as a new norm.
Inland Coalition for Immigrant Justice has been responding to local immigration operations for months now.
We know right now the administration was told you cannot indiscriminately go and detain people.
Martin tells us dozens of feds filled the street in front of their home for 6 or 7 hours, but eventually left because they didn't have a warrant.
They're definitely going to come back. There's no doubt about it. That's what they do. Now we're going to be looking over our shoulder and fearing for our safety.
Well, San Bernardino police tell us they later went back to the home to help out with crowd control. They tell us those federal agents were attempting to arrest someone for either assaulting, impeding, or resisting a federal officer. We did reach out to those federal agencies for a comment, but we have not yet heard back from them. Reporting live in San Bernardino, Nicole Comstock, KCAL News.
Nicole, thank you.
Pay attention to what that was saying. No arrest was made. They fired a weapon into a car, endangering the lives of people, and no arrests were made. They went back to the house. No arrests were made. And now what they're saying, not on the clip, but in future other developments, they're saying that it was resisting arrest from a federal agent. They kind of got to it at the end of the clip there. But resisting arrest from when they fled and when you shot into their car, that's the charge? What was the underlying reason for the stop? What was the underlying reason for firing your weapon, discharging your weapon indiscriminately into a car with human beings? Mm-hmm. Fuck off.
Yeah, and
did I mention fuck off?
You did, yes. And this is why it's really important to film, if you can, because they are...
It'll be their word against yours.
They're trying to get away with misconduct, and we don't have a clip of this because the video that ICE put out of this recording themselves tearing down these banners in Mount Pleasant, it's more like it's more just like filming them tearing the banners down and not necessarily narration of what's happening. Yeah. So there were these banners put up in a neighborhood here, Mount Pleasant, and it's a neighborhood that we go to all the time. In fact, one of our favorite restaurants is in Mount Pleasant.
Yeah, and fewer than 3 blocks from where we used to live in Columbia Heights. It's right. It's an adjoining neighborhood.
Yeah, and we were actually just there the other weekend at one of the markets there getting lard for you to make carnitas, which
yes.
were really fantastic. And the signs didn't even say, they didn't have profanity. They didn't say, you know, fuck ICE. They just said, like, no deportations.
Yeah.
I can't remember what else they said, but the immigration and customs enforcement agents filmed
all masked, filmed, all anonymous,
filmed themselves tearing the banners down, and then in their place was a dildo. And in the actual video that was produced by and put out by ICE on their official social media, the dildo is meticulously blurred.
Yeah, yeah.
And so there has been no attempt to get comment on this from the media.
Well, you've tried. You've called. You've emailed.
I did call.
You talked to some snarky cock on the phone.
Yes, and I did email, and I guess you might as well just read my email since you brought it up. I said, hi, my name is Brittany Page, and I'm a Washington, D.C. resident. I host the Page Perspective on YouTube. I'm writing about the video posted to X showing ICE officers removing an anti-ICE sign where they then appear to leave a dildo meticulously blurred in the video in place of the anti-ICE signs here in D.C. video here. I link to it just in case they haven't seen it. And I say, can you confirm, number one, did the ICE agents leave this dildo in a park where children play? Because this is a park where children are often found. There are families walking by with their children in strollers. There are kids in this area all the time, very frequently.
It's a family neighborhood.
Right. Number two, if yes, which ICE agent placed the dildo? Does he or she regularly travel with dildos to leave in children's parks? Number three, is it considered appropriate conduct to remove signs put up by Washington, D.C. residents exercising their free speech rights, where agents then proclaim they are taking America back? Because I forgot, that's what they look in the camera and say.
Yeah, he says it in Spanish, too, and he says America's number one.
How is that in their purview to talk about?
Yeah.
So I added a fourth question. When the ICE agents say they are taking America back, who do they take the, who do they believe they are taking America back from? Please advise.
And then here's their response. Meaning no response.
But this has really pissed me off. So I'm trying to use my Karen sensibilities to my advantage here because I do want to talk to someone. My next step is calling tomorrow and saying I have been trying to contact the media through the ICE media branch through the email. No one's responding to me. So what do I need to do to get through to someone? Because I'm trying to get a comment here.
Brittany is going to bring serious, serious energy to this matter.
She's not a Christian!
But that's not all with these motherfuckers. Are you ready for this one? So this is another instance. This was pretty early on in the week after there was going to be an increase in federal agents stalking the streets of D.C. and harassing residents here, that one of the ICE agents was being filmed. And so this is going to start.
Well, we don't know if he's ICE because he's a masked anonymous agent. He's a secret police.
We don't know.
He's Donald Trump's fucking secret police force, his Gestapo.
Right. So the video is going to start and be kind of quiet at first. You're not going to hear what's going on. You're going to hear some fighting, what sounds like fighting. And that's when they tackle a delivery driver here in D.C.
off of his bike. He's got a motorcycle helmet on.
Right. They tackle him, bring him to the ground. And then various community members walk up and start filming because this is D.C. and people take care of each other here. And you'll hear the questions being asked and then you'll hear how this masked officer responds to these community members' efforts to hold him accountable.
You all right, dude? No. Hey, pull Chris off. Pull Chris off. Hey.
What agency are you guys with?
Who are you guys? Oh, are you guys cops? Who are you? Who are you? Who are you?
What agency are you guys with?
It's so easy to be behind a mask. Did you guys tell us who you are? Who are you?
Well, you guys are ruining this country. You know that, right? Liberals already ruined it.
Oh.
Okay.
Can we see some badge work, guys? Hey, guys.
We already ruined it.
No number, no ID, no name.
So he said liberals already ruined it.
Making very clear that this is a political operation. Also, it's not on that particular version of it. If you play it longer, they're like, hey, can we get a plate number? He goes, yeah, look at the front. And they go, there is no plate on the front. He goes, oh, look at that. And he gets in the car like a smug cunt.
Yeah. Never identifying himself, never giving any information. No one was able to gather who these people were to protect this community member.
Maybe he's just really frustrated that he was about ready to pass out from being out of breath from the little movement that he made.
And what is stressful about this is, what does a society do when there are armed agents of the state in the streets who are allowed to behave like this with impunity? Who are laughing at you and mocking you when you attempt to hold them accountable, when you attempt to get information that you should have, that they should be giving you that has a purpose. You're not just harassing them in the street. In fact, none of those community members were aggressive until he started being aggressive. And then they met the aggression with some passive aggressive comments.
Yeah, yeah.
And so this is what's getting concerning, is these people seem to be proud, boys, proud of their job, and because they are...
Well, no, you made the joke about Proud Boys. They have been asked questions, like, outside of Union Station.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, you guys are the new Proud Boys. And they're like, yeah, they're good people.
Right.
Federal agents telling protesters about their admiration for the Proud Boys.
Of course. I mean, and this is all related. I recently did a video about Homeland Security putting out recruitment videos and posters where they're explicitly using white power symbols. And yeah, I mean, the administration has been infiltrated by Nazis. I mean, it's white power activists up and down. And so now they're on the streets and they're acting like this. And tell
me again, all of the people out there who are probably not in our audience
anymore,
who called us alarmists. Oh, yeah, anymore, right.
Right.
Who called us alarmists and, oh, it's not fascism. Let's not be exaggerating. Let's give people the benefit of the doubt who don't deserve the fucking benefit of the doubt. This is fascism. This is where we are. And if this is where we are now, 8 months into his administration, where are we going to be in 6 months? Where are we going to be in a year? So all of the things that I'm talking about with civil war and more troops and going into other cities, those of you who are now skeptical of that, where are you going to be when it happens? And will you remember this moment?
Yeah, I do hope that people kind of take a little inventory, because I think it's important to keep yourself on track. If you think about it, the DNC was 1 year ago today.
It's crazy.
And I remember that time. I remember posting about being at the DNC. And of course, we can and did ad nauseum talk about the Democratic Party's failures. But
I'm still frustrated by
there it. Are people who knew better and who engaged in protest voting. And
cowards, weaklings, traitors to themselves.
And I still have some of these white leftists in my mentions who like defend their protest votes all these months later. And I guess I just don't understand that.
Don't vote shame.
I just don't understand that perspective, especially if you're from a privileged community, to see everything that's happening around us and still defend your protest vote. Because it's not about you. It's about everyone else.
Well,
and it's about harm reduction. If you support harm reduction in other areas, you should be able to support harm reduction in voting. Because look at what not participating in harm reduction did.
Well, those people acted like Gaza was their red line. I just can't get past it. So is Gaza better off now than it would have been if Kamala Harris was in office? Because if Kamala Harris was in office... When Joe Biden was in office, it was nonstop, day after day, protests in and around the White House, all over the city, all over the country, justifiably so. And as soon as Donald Trump got elected, it seemed, they all pitter-pattered away. They're nowhere to be found. All of the protests, all of the angst, all of the anger, it's gone now. All of these people who acted like Gaza was their red line have ushered in a new era of misery and genocide in Gaza and new misery and oppression here at home too.
Yeah, I would push back on that only slightly, that there have still been protests. There's been protests in New York City. There's been protests here. I think it's specifically really a lot of times.
Not at the pace that there was.
The white leftists that we know personally are also not people who will ever be in the streets, who are ever engaging in any kind of activism aside from shit posting about Democrats online.
Well, also, let me address that. Look at the people out there who only have criticism for Democrats. In this moment, right now, look, criticizing Democrats is good and healthy and we need it. I criticize Democrats. Brittany criticizes Democrats and the party and the leadership.
Yeah.
All of it.
Chuck Schumer, Hakeem Jeffries, they're all the fucking worst.
Fucking do nothings, yeah. Right? But if all you're doing when fascism, they have troops rolling through the streets of our cities and masked secret police out there, and all they're doing is criticizing Democrats, those are people to fucking ignore. The Ken Klippensteins of the world, fucking ignore. They have no credibility in this at all. Find people who criticize both and focus on what's actually happening now. Because if all you're doing is criticizing Democrats, you're not, your eye's not on the target.
Yeah, and there are some like black creators that I follow that will post about, like, post screenshots of some of these white leftists that are in their replies, and they'll say, oh, you voted for Kamala, you voted for a capitalist, you voted for someone who supported genocide, that's disgusting, I can't believe you voted for her. Like, they're still, after everything that has happened, right, saying things like that. I don't know what to make of a person like that. I don't know if they are actually on the left. I really don't know.
Well, like, maybe they don't understand that it was a binary choice.
Well,
like,
I think some people have been taken in by some sort of propaganda, because even before the election, Jared Kushner was talking about waterfront property in Gaza.
And here we are. They are now, they've gotten the go ahead that they're going to invade Gaza City and take it over.
Yeah. And I remember a white leftist I was talking to, when Trump first got elected, referred to it as Trump's ceasefire. There's never been a ceasefire.
Yeah. When did the ceasefire happen?
There's never been. They've been murdering Palestinians.
When did a succession of genocide stop?
Yeah, they've been murdering. They've been murdering.
Nonstop.
Yeah, it's been nonstop.
Starving. Babies are starving. Mothers are starving so much they can't even breastfeed their babies.
Yeah. So it's, but again, and so who is doing something right? Gavin Newsom is doing something right, shockingly.
Yeah, who knew that he would be the one who's actually doing some hard work here?
Yeah, and I mean, again, this is, and I get the perspective of people who are leftists, who are upset at the Democratic Party's upper echelon, who are refusing to endorse Zohran Mamdani.
Of course.
Who is an incredible candidate who they should immediately be getting behind. How it's embarrassing how they're not.
They should, if for nothing else, if they want to learn how to win, you mimic that guy. You do what that guy does.
Right.
You don't have to like him. He can make you feel uncomfortable, fine. But if you want to fucking win, you do what Zohran Mamdani's doing.
But here's what I wish for all of these people that I'm talking about here, is I wish that some of these white leftists will take a step back and reassess privately. They don't need to do it publicly. They don't need to do it publicly. I would like some of the political commentators who got it wrong, who would laugh about authoritarianism, who would laugh about fascism, who would
Jake Huger,
who would
Anna Kasparian,
who would dismiss Project 2025, who would downplay the threat of Donald Trump and Project 2025. I would like them to apologize, because they have platforms, and if you get something wrong, I think you need to apologize.
Or even Nora O'Donnell.
But people that don't have a prominent public profile, they don't necessarily need to apologize. They can just start doing better now. And there are ways to help your community. You can be supporting mutual aid. You can be going to protests. You can be calling your elected officials. There's a lot of things that you can be doing, even though it feels hopeless. And shitposting about Democrats and attacking people who are activists because they voted for Kamala Harris and tried to stop the bleeding before it happened, I don't necessarily think that's productive or useful or helpful. And so I think it is important that at least privately they try to grapple with where they went wrong. And if they were internalizing incorrect information, then fix your feeds, fix your algorithm, yeah. Get off Twitter for the love of fuck, please. Those are important things to do. But, you know, Donald Trump is now going after museums. It's not just what's taught in schools and in history books.
Yeah, he wants museums to not focus on history and how bad slavery was, quote unquote. He wants museums, you know, the place with dinosaur bones and archaeological evidence of digs and stuff. He wants them to focus on the future, you know, the thing museums do best. I guess.
And he's also talking about how he's getting election advice from Vladimir Putin.
Yeah.
And that Vladimir Putin agrees with him about mail-in ballots.
Even though Russia has mail-in ballots.
So, you know, we are definitely in a bad spot and things are getting worse. And I feel lucky in many ways because I watched a video today of a man who was stopped at the National Mall, and he was afraid because there was five ICE agents or whoever the fuck they were that had masks on, and he got afraid and he tried to run and they tackled him and he immediately started crying out that he didn't do anything and yeah. That he's afraid.
He's just here to work.
And I cannot imagine being a member of a community that is worried about whether I'm going to get health care, is worried about whether or not I'm going to be stopped driving to work because of how I look. And for the people who don't have to worry about that, who made the wrong choice this last election and have contributed to this, they really need to do some internal soul searching and figure out why that happened. Because there is pain happening all around, and it's time to figure it out, stop lashing out at other people, move forward, get involved, and help. Because there's, you have to help. Now you have to help.
Yeah. Yeah. Should we leave everybody on a more upbeat note?
Yeah, we should do that. So let's end with Elise Stefanik.
Yeah, I was hoping that you were reading my eyes.
Thank you for giving me some time to calm down. So Congressman Elise Stefanik, who's one of the worst, she also tried to demonstrate just unbelievable fealty to Donald Trump, and then I don't think she got any kind of cabinet position, even though it was suggested that she might.
Well, she was going to be the U.N., the ambassador to the UN.
Yes, that's right.
Right, and then because it would have put the House at risk because they had such a they still have such a tight margin, she got pushed off of that, and then she was going to get some other position, and then it was just like, yeah, you know what? You're not important enough. Fuck off.
Yeah, so here she is, and this is a great way to participate if you're looking for ways to participate.
This is why this is a mood booster.
Yeah, because the community showed up to let Elise Stefanik know they're not happy.
Our Congresswoman from New York 21, Elise Stefanik.
That's what it sounded like outside the Government Center building in Plattsburgh Monday, where the late Clinton County Clerk John Zerlo was honored for his more than five decades of service to the community. Zerlo's family, local officials, and Congresswoman Elise Stefanik gathered in front of a crowd for a dedication ceremony. But among the spectators, some people opted to protest their Congresswoman's appearance.
Well, Elise has not shown up in our district in months and months. She won't hold a town hall. She won't take questions. She's never at her office. People show up at her office constantly, doors closed. They won't even, her representatives, her employees won't talk to her constituents. So this is the first appearance and opportunity we had to just let her know that we're unhappy.
That call for Stefanik to hold a town hall echoing throughout the crowd, even when local speakers took their turns at the podium.
Today isn't about politics, folks. It's about
Activist groups, including one called Show Up, organized the demonstration. One of the protesters says the number of people who chose to protest sent a significant message to Stefanik that people in the North Country are frustrated, and that frustration could be transcending party lines.
I don't think this is about Democrats versus Republicans or anything. It's we're all represented by Stefanik. We all here are represented by Stefanik. And with the recent cuts that are being, that just got passed, like we're all going to be affected by rural hospitals, by Hudson Headwaters potentially being affected, our only clinics that are available to patients. Like, that's important to me. I'm a nurse.
Stefanik stayed behind after the event to weigh in on the protests. She attributed the disruption to what she's calling the, quote, far left.
Today's event was about honoring John Zerlo. It is a disgusting disgrace that this is what the far left does, rather than understanding that his family has been through a tremendous amount. It was about honoring his legacy.
Stefanik stepped up to address the crowd twice. Both times, the protesters booed her.
Here's the other thing that they're doing right now. We can wrap here, but anybody who protests their actions is the far left. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
These aren't far left. This is coming from the same party that thinks Chuck Schumer is a Palestinian as a slur, is a radical leftist.
Mm-hmm.
Chuck fucking Schumer,
mm-hmm.
who hasn't seen corporate money he didn't love. Hakeem Jeffries, who can't get out of his own way and even endorse Zoran Mamdani.
Mm-hmm.
He's a far left radical leftist. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, I feel like the emotions have been all over the place on this episode, and hopefully you guys understand that there's a heightened level of stress that we're experiencing because of what is happening in the city. We've been out trying
Is that like a sideways apology for something I did?
No, why would I apologize for what you do?
I don't know.
Well, no, there's probably been more cussing. I almost cried just now. Like, it's like we're all over the place.
Almost,
So anyway, and, you know, it's been a stressful time. Like, I actually, when I fall asleep at night, I physically have to massage my forehead to get it to relax.
Life is a fucking nightmare.
Yeah, exactly. Because I am so stressed that I have tension in my forehead constantly.
Yeah.
So.
That's true. It's true.
Yeah. So thank you for listening. Thank you for being here. Thank you for supporting us. Please take care of yourselves. I know this is stressful even if you don't live in D.C., even if you're watching it from afar. You hear what Donald Trump's saying. The Texas House just approved the redistricting maps as Donald Trump wanted, asking for 5 seats. California is going to respond by doing redistricting of their own, which is fantastic. We absolutely support that. More Democratic governors need to follow suit and do that as well in order to give us a fighting chance here of... retaining some semblance of a blockade to the Trump administration by winning in the midterms.
And we would love to hear from you, even if it's just a vent and bitch session. Look, we love episodes where it's just listener communication. We could turn episode 953 into that. Let us know what you think. 657-464-7609. Once again, even though you can rewind and listen, 657-464-7609. And of course, as always, you can email a voice memo from your smartphone or a regular old email to idoubtit@dollamore.com. If you are into it, if you like that sort of thing, you can help support this work and help us produce this show and what we do on YouTube. Go to patreon.com/idoubtitpodcast. We would love to see you there. We love and appreciate you very much. We are all in this together, as long as you're into it, to be in it together. And we will see you next time for Brittany Page. I'm Jesse Dollimore, and this has been I Doubt It.
Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Finish up projects with GE-branded silicone sealants. Tub and tile silicone is 100% waterproof and offers same-day water readiness, making it perfect to use in kitchens and bathrooms. Shop our selection of GE sealants in-store and on Menards.com and save big. Plus, check out the weekly flyer to view all of our other great deals happening this week. Save big.